Today, the new owner of the important Fairbrother Enterprises, Mr. Grenville, is visiting his property for the first time. Everyone connected with Ambridge and its affairs is on tenterhooks. Will the new boss be amenable to reason? Will he bring in his own men to replace Ambridge folk? Will he conform to Ambridge traditions, or will he want to enforce his own? Dan and Doris, in common with a great many more, are asking these questions at the breakfast table.
I don't see why everybody should have to go into a flat spin just because he's paying a visit.
It isn't so much a flat spin, Doris, as a sort of feeling of natural anxiety.
Well, he can't start giving orders around the place for another 2 months because he doesn't take over till Lady Day.
But on the impressions he gets from this visit, he probably decide his actions on Lady Day.
You mean if, say, he takes a violent dislike to Phil now, then the first thing he'll do on Lady Day is give Phil notice?
No, that, I imagine, is the general feeling at the back of a lot of people's minds this morning. Phil and his job. Jack and his job. Carol Gray and her career as a horticulturist.
Oh, I can't see him trying any of his old buck on Carol. She's too strong-minded.
There's Len Thomas, a sheep man. Worried stiff in case Grenville isn't interested in sheep.
Well, he's bound to be.
Then there's your brother, Tom Forrest. Worried to death whether Grenville will be a sporting man or not. Maybe he'll grub up all the shooting preserves and turn them into arable land.
Not he. The old squire as good as said he's the right man to come into Ambridge. So he's bound to be a hunting, fishing and shooting man.
I wonder.
I still don't believe that any outsider is going to come into our village and change it overnight. We're more likely to change him than he's likely to change us. Look at Mr. Fairbrother when he first came. Breathing fire and slaughter and revolutionary ideas all over the place. Why, he even wanted to grub up the entire estate and turn it into a field of iron ore. But we soon tamed him.
Well, love, if everybody has the same supreme optimism about the future that you've got, then there'll be a lot more smiling faces in Ambridge today, I know.
One thing, it won't affect us much.
Yeah. Wait and see is best, I reckon.
I know the old squire. I grew up in the service of the Lawson Hope family, and if he says this Mr. Grenville's all right, why, I refuse to worry.
Squire Lawson Hope's getting old and doddery. Times have changed since he ran things around these parts.
I still trust him to know a right un from a wrong un.
Oh, well, we'll see, we'll see.
Hello, Mrs. Fairbrother.
Hello, Philip. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Come along in, both of you. I heard the car arrive.
From the luxurious limousine I see parked there, I gather that Mr. Grenville has arrived.
Yes, Carol. This way, in the drawing room. We've just finished coffee. Mr. Grenville, let me introduce you to the two principal characters in Fairbrother Enterprises. Miss Carol Gray, who runs the horticultural and market garden side, and Philip Archer, who is our general farm manager.
How do you do, Miss Gray? Mr. Archer?
How do you do?
How do you do? This is a moment we've been waiting for a long time.
These two people are really the ones who make Fairbrother Enterprises tick, Mr. Grenville.
And so I gathered. And I've also gathered that you're both individuals.
I hope so.
By that, I mean that you both have very strong views of your own on matters connected with your work.
Oh, well, naturally.
And that's quite as it should be, of course. Now then, the point is this. I have very strong views about various matters myself. And what we've got to find out is whether these views clash. And if so, who has the final word?
Well, suppose we all sit down and find that out, shall we?
As I see it, unless we make mutual decisions otherwise, we're going to be three co-directors in a new company formed to carry on the business of Fairbrother Enterprises.
Yes, we're co-directors, Mr. Grenville, assuming we all decide to carry on as before. But as Miss Gray and I have found out just recently, being a co-director doesn't really count for so very much when the main holdings in the company, and therefore the overriding control, are vested in one person. Whether that one person happens to be Mr. Fairbrother or you, the fact remains that our directorships are, well, purely nominal.
Have you any alternative method of working to suggest?
Well, speaking personally, I'd like a bigger say in things.
Miss Graham?
I would, too. I appreciate your position, though.
Well, that's the point. Anxious though I shall always be to maintain a friendly working relationship with everybody in the organization, I must point out that, so far as I'm concerned, there'll be one person who has the final say, and that person will be me. I shall back my own opinions. I have the necessary drive and I think the necessary finances to test them out.
are, young Jill.
Shh. Come on in, Chris. Oh, sorry. I forgot the babies. Are they playing up?
Just a bit. That ring on the doorbell didn't do any good.
Oh, dear. I was so sorry.
That's all right, silly. Won't hurt them to give their lungs an airing. Oh, tisn't lasting dying down already.
Oh, thank goodness.
Well, go in here and we shan't hear them.
Okay.
Just in time for some tea. The kettle is on.
Oh, never say no to a cuppa, but don't make one specially.
Just making one anyway.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
No? Jill refusing cigarettes?
I don't feel like them.
Aye, aye. That lines up with a hint dropped by Philip.
We don't know anything for sure.
But it looks that way, eh?
It certainly does.
Don't waste any time, do you, you two?
Have them young and grow up with them. That's our motto.
Yes.
Still, nothing definite yet, so don't go spreading it around, Chris.
Lips firmly sealed, tight as an oyster.
Good.
Do you mind if you are pregnant again?
Mind? No.
So soon after the other two, I mean. With them so young.
No, more the merrier.
Mm. Lucky Jill.
No joy at all with you?
No.
And the specialist said you were perfectly all right, didn't he?
100%.
So?
So, Paul can't really blame me, can he?
Have you, said anything to him?
Such as?
Well, maybe he should have a check over.
Heavens, no. I haven't said anything like that.
Why?
Well, it's a bit embarrassing, to say the least.
Why? You both want babies now, don't you? Or don't you?
Yes, definitely.
Then surely the thing to do is to be sane and sensible and 1959-ish about the problem and tackle it. No use pretending it isn't there. Take my tip and talk the whole thing over with Paul.
I wouldn't mind myself if Paul didn't mind, but he does. He minds dreadfully. And always the implication is that I'm letting him down.
It's awfully difficult, I agree. But if I were in your shoes, I couldn't stand this continual sort of reproach. I'd have to settle things and say it wasn't my fault.
Yes, I know, but...
Still, not my business anyway. I'll go and make the tea. The whole problem is far too much of a private matter between you and Paul. I'll keep my big mouth shut.
Coming up to 60 head of cattle, all told. Oh, morning, Carol. You're about bright and early.
Morning, Phil. I'm going into Borchester.
Oh.
I knew you wouldn't want to go in with things as they are, and Grenville ferreting around. I wondered if I could help out in any way.
Well, that's jolly nice of you, Carol. Matter of fact, I wonder if you'd call in on Harriet and Mildmay.
The auctioneers?
Yes. Tell them I'd like to see one of their chaps if we can fix up a suitable day.
Not selling up the old homestead at Coombe Farm.
No, no, not yet. Doesn't mind to sell anyway. But we've some surplus stock to dispose of this year. And I want to get fixed up with the auctioneer well in advance.
Well in advance? I'll say you are. Months and months before the next sale is due, surely.
Well, just in case, I'm not here. I'd like to have things all laid on for whoever's doing my job.
Oh, that's a defeatist attitude, if you like.
Not at all, just being realistic.
Why such a pessimist?
I don't think I made a great hit with friend Grenville.
You don't?
No, I don't think so. I told Dad last night. I rather think I came in a bit too strong. Well, you haven't contradicted me, I notice.
I thought you were a tiny bit on the attack for a first meeting.
Well, I shall do the same as you. Give him a 6-month trial. If at the end of that time I'm crawling up the wall with frustration, I shall pack in my job.
After all these years of patient development, development that's been done in a lot of cases almost single-handed by Philip Archer.
Yes, a lot of good that's done me. Aye, aye. Here he comes again.
Oh, finesse, remember.
Ah, good morning, Miss Gray. Mr. Archer.
Morning, Grenville.
You're abroad early.
Yeah, so are you. And after all, we have to be. I'd have thought you might have had an extra half hour under the blankets.
I'm used to early rising. As a matter of fact, I'd be interested to see your sheep. I have a full report about them here. All the same, I'd like to see them.
Yes, of course. Would you like me to drive you to Lakey Hill? That's where most of them are.
Well, aren't you busy?
Well, yes, but even so, I could spare half an hour to drive you up.
Oh, I assure you that there's no need. I have a map of the estate here. I'll be quite capable of ambling round on my own.
Yeah, well, just as you like, of course. The shepherd, Len Thomas, is up there. He's a Welshman.
Yes, so I see from the report. He good?
Well, we think so.
Didn't do all that well last year with the lambing, not from these records.
No, it wasn't a particularly brilliant year for us with the lambs.
Any special reason you can think of for that?
No, not really. Len's one of the best shepherds in the county. Just a wrong choice of ram, for one thing.
Hmm. Whose choice? Len Thomas's?
No, Mr. Fairbrother and I chose it. It wasn't Len's fault at all.
Is it usual to consult the shepherd when one buys rams?
Well, some do, but most farmers know what they want.
They should do.
Anyway, Mr. Fairbrother was keen on this particular one for some reason, and we bought it.
I hate to butt in, but about those jobs in Borchester, Phil, I shall have to get away.
Oh, well, if you'll excuse me a moment, Mr. Grenville.
Oh, by all means. Nice-looking lot of cattle there. Very nice.
Yes, we are rather pleased with them. I'll be back with you again in a moment, Mr. Grenville.
No, there's no need. I'll carry on to Lakey Hill under my own steam.
Oh, well, there's one thing.
Hmm?
Len Thomas is a bit, anxious about things. You do propose to carry on with sheep?
Well, if the sheep trade makes them a proposition, certainly. And they're most valuable in grassland management.
Good. He was frightened you might be anti-sheep. Some farmers are.
All right, I shan't upset him. I promise you.
Eh?
Gives as good as he gets, doesn't he?
Don't be so prickly, Philip.
Oh, sorry, but he as good as got me admitting we'd made a bloomer about the choice of the ram. Which, let's face it, we did. But he's got, I don't know, a sort of sly way of asking questions. You feel as though you're being cross-examined by a clever barrister who's leading you on to say one thing so that he can make you admit another.
Yeah, I see exactly what you mean. And I agree with you. He's nobody's fool.
Yeah.
Things around Fairbrother's Enterprises are going to be a trifle different in the future, it strikes me. But don't forget, Phil, no chip on the shoulder. Remember, diplomacy, tact.
I'll remember. Until I forget. Well, come on, let's get these little jobs sorted out. By the way, I wonder if he expects me to call him sir.
Not a bit of use looking so black about it, darling.
Well, it's all very well. The man seems to be sneering at everything we've achieved.
Oh, it's just your imagination. You're much too touchy about the whole thing.
Mm. I don't know, Jill.
What don't you know?
I have a darn good mind to clear out while the going is good. Get myself a small farm.
Over my dead body.
Eh? I thought you liked the idea.
So I do, but not now. You show Mr. Grenville what you're made of first. You're not running away with your tail between your legs right at the beginning just because of one or two upsets.
That's my girl.
Well, talking like that. You know more about Fairbrother Enterprises than anybody else connected with it. You built it up. Don't you dare turn your back on it at this stage. The very idea. You make yourself completely indispensable, then pack up and go to your own farm, not before. If you go now, people will think this new man's frightened you away. Either that or else he's found you out fiddling the books or being inefficient or something.
Mm. You know, Jill, there are times when you talk a lot of good sense.
Right. Well, you take notice of it then. My husband, father of my three children, acting as though...
What was that? My three children? You confirmed it?
Yes, went this morning. Archer offspring number three is well and truly on the way.
Oh. Do you feel all right about it, Jill?
Me? Delighted. And you?
Well, of course. Honestly, though.
But of course I am, silly. What do you think?
Well, you're not getting much fun out of life. No sooner get the twins settled and not quite at a tie, and then here you are off again.
I'm getting all the fun out of life that I want, thanks.
You're not getting much in the way of dances and nights out.
I'll let you know when I'm getting claustrophobia. Don't forget, I spent years travelling around from one place to another. The one thing I always dreamt of was a husband, a home, and a family of my very own. Well, now I've got everything I wanted, and you ask me if I mind. You are funny.
Oh, bother. Oh, dash it. Hello, Ma.
Oh, hello, Chris.
Hey, you look annoyed about something. Anything wrong?
No, nothing. Come in and take your things off. I'll make some tea. Surprised seeing you at Brookfield this time of the afternoon.
Not much to do, and the girls shoo me away when we're not busy.
Huh.
Well, come on, out with it. What's biting you?
Our Phil and Jill. All the village seems to know she's expecting again, all except me.
Oh.
Well, did they tell you?
Well, yes, they did, as a matter of fact.
Never said a word to me. Just wait till I see our Phil. Just wait. How long ago did you know?
Oh, about a fortnight.
Oh. Well, I don't know what things are coming to. Really, I don't. Why did they tell you before me and your dad?
Well, I don't know. I don't suppose they thought it was as important as all that. It was just one of those things.
Oh, suddenly struck me.
Maybe I can guess why it was mentioned to you, Chris. But don't tell me. You don't mean to say...
What?
I've got it, of course. I suppose you told them some news, too, is that it?
What?
That would account for you being told, yes. Oh, is it true, Chris? Have I guessed right? Are you and Paul really going to have an addition to the family?
Mum, what are you talking about?
Now then, Chris, you've no need to be embarrassed with me, of all people.
I'm not embarrassed. I'm just perplexed. What on earth has been said that you think I'm pregnant?
You mean you're not?
Of course not. Whatever makes you think differently?
Well, it was just that... I mean, I thought that if Phil and Jill told you and Paul without telling anybody else, then perhaps that might be the reason. Exchanging mutual confidences.
Sorry to disappoint you, Mum, but I'm afraid you've jumped to the wrong conclusion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to embarrass you, Chris.
Oh, you haven't?
I don't know why, but somehow I had a sort of feeling that you'd brought some news with you.
Well, I haven't. So that's that, and let's forget it.
You don't want to leave it too late in life, you know, Chris.
No, Mum.
The longer you wait before you start a family, the less you'll want to start at all. That always happens.
Yes, Mum.
And it's no use standing there saying yes, Mum, and no, Mum, like that.
Oh, what am I supposed to do?
Start a family quick, that's what.
Well, that's just as much our business as Phil and Jill's is their business. It certainly isn't anybody else's, not even my ever-loving mother's. So let's drop the subject, shall we, before I start getting niggly.
There you are, you see. Now you're being difficult.
And my goodness, I know who I take after. Don't worry, Mum. I shan't quarrel with you, even if you are all set to have a squabble with somebody.
Me? I don't want to squabble with anybody.
Then don't. As for Paul and me joining in the family sticks, well, just have a bit of patience, will you? There's a dear. We are having to.
You mean... it isn't that you don't want babies?
No. Isn't that at all?
Something's gone wrong since you left home this morning, hasn't it? Mm. Now, come on. Get it off your chest or it'll spoil your appetite for lunch.
Well, guess who I saw in Borchester?
I'll buy.
I happened to be passing Porter's Cafe and I just glanced through the window casually. Mm? And who do you think was up in the corner at a table for two, having a tete-a-tete over coffee? Paul Johnson and Marianne Peters.
What? In Borchester?
In Porter's Cafe, large as life.
Are you sure?
Well, of course I'm sure, because I was so surprised I took another look.
Did they see you?
They seemed far too much engrossed in each other to spare a glance in my direction. No, I'm prepared to swear they didn't see me.
Well.
I'm just getting a bit fed up with the pitying looks I manage to intercept every now and again from my friends.
Pitying looks?
Yes. One dear lady said what a shame it was we couldn't go to Reggie's party at the club last night. I said you were working late at the office. Then she smirked and went away after saying she didn't know your office was at the Royal Hotel in Borchester or that you had such a very attractive secretary. Really, Paul, couldn't you be a little more discreet? For my sake, if not for your own.
Ah, dear. Off we go again. I thought all this nonsense was over and done with.
So did I. It was Marianne Peters, I suppose?
Yes, it was Marianne Peters.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. You're getting her another job with another friend of yours. So you just had to see her
again. Now, just listen, Chris. I told you, Marianne Peters was an old friend of the family. She was always very fond of me and said she'd marry me when she grew up if I'd wait for her.
Oh, good Lord, how novelettish can you get?
Oh, she was only 13, remember? Naturally, I kidded her along and said I'd wait for her. Who wouldn't have done?
And don't tell me she did wait.
Yes. Precisely that. Never even had a boyfriend, not one.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Well, I couldn't make up a story like that and expect it to be believed. But I still wasn't worried. She was in France and I was in England and the whole situation was quite ridiculous. Until she suddenly moved over to High Wycombe. Her father's retired there. And out of the blue, she wrote and asked for a job in my firm.
And you got her a job? Wasn't that asking for trouble?
Well, in a way, I suppose.
Is that why you've been so edgy and irritable lately?
Yes. Borchester's too small a place for me to conduct any sort of affair, even if I wanted to. Far easier from that point of view if I'd left her down in High Wycombe and gone down to see her every now and again, or met her in London. The last thing to do if I was playing you up was to bring her here.
Yes, that's true, I suppose. Anyway, now what? You saw her last night.
Yes, and I told her straight. We couldn't ever be anything to each other. I was happily married to the best wife in the world, and the sooner she found herself a nice boyfriend of her own, the better it'd be all round.
What did she say to that?
Oh, she had to agree. And that's that. Well, you can believe it or not as you wish. The whole thing was just a storm in a teacup. Now the storm's blown over, such as it was.
I see. Thank you for telling me. Now I understand.
Oh, thank heavens for that. I'm bored with the whole damn shooting match, I can tell you. It's been putting me off my work.
And off your wife?
Well, there's one sure way of proving that, one way or the other. Come here.
Oh, no. That's your answer to every problem. No. Look, Paul, it's a quarter past ten and I've got...
Mind a bit of Dad?
No, just a half, Jack. I'll take a couple of bottles up to old Walter and have a game of crib with him.
Ah, the boy. Hello, Phil. How did the power farming conference go?
Hello, Jack. Hello, Dad. Hello. It all went very well. Worthwhile trip.
Yeah, what are you drinking, Phil? Hmm? I'll buy you one before I pop across to Walter's place.
Half a bit of that.
Yeah, I'll tell you this much, my lad. You're in the doghouse at home, all right.
Oh, with Jill?
No, with your mum.
Aye, aye. What have you been up to, my lad?
Oh, nothing. What's upset Mum, then?
Are you and Jill expecting another addition to the family?
Hey? What's that? Is that true, Phil?
Well, yes, it is, but nobody's supposed to know except Chris and Paul.
Ah, there's the rub. Your mother wants to know why everybody else should be told before us. I told her it was your business and nobody else's. But you know your mother. She thinks she's been slighted.
But Chris was told in confidence when we only suspected it. She shouldn't have said anything to anybody.
Ah, you're off the beam, my lad. Your mother was told by Mrs. Scroby.
What?
Yeah.
That old gossip monger.
Anyway, why keep the thing secret? Folks are bound to know sooner or later.
Well, we just didn't want the news spread around till the whole thing was properly confirmed.
And is it now?
Yes. All quite definite.
Picture of a young man in a hurry.
Eh?
Philip Archer, the original family provider.
What?
Provides families quicker than anybody else.
As long as Jill's happy about it, I don't see why anybody else should be bothered.
That's what I say. Is Mum really peeved?
Yes, he is, honestly. I haven't seen her so put out for a long time. Can't wait to get hold of you and tell you what she thinks of you.
Oh, no.
Better run along and make your peace with her.
Yeah, I think I'll let Jill do that.
Oh, no. You're the one she's gunning for, not Jill. My own son, she says. Our Phil. And somebody else in the village has to tell me that I'm going to be a grandmother again.
Disgraceful.
Shocking.
Phil Archer has made his peace with his mother, who's delighted that another baby is expected in the family, while Dan has farming matters on his mind.
Oh, I don't know. These Saturday mornings are all the same. I can't get at my own kitchen table at all.
Yeah, I shan't be long, love.
What shall I get for dinner tomorrow?
Hey, now, don't shift that ready, reckon. I haven't finished with it yet.
Why you have to take up the whole of the blessed table just to make up a couple of wage packets, I'll never know.
Well, there's overtime to be calculated, cards to be stamped. Now, what have you done with that ready reckoner? Where is it?
Right at your elbow.
Now, you're covering it up with the tablecloth. Yeah, let's see. How much PAYE do I knock off this week for Ned?
Do you fancy lamb or beef or what?
Mm-hmm.
Lamb or beef?
No, not just now. Too soon after breakfast.
I mean tomorrow.
Hmm?
Oh, heaven bless the man. What's the use of talking?
Who was? I never said a thing.
You didn't say anything sensible.
I take me certain that every Saturday morning when I come in here and put my specs on and try to do my wages and stuff, you come and start pouring trivialities in my ear. Now, what is it? Let's get it over and done with.
I was only asking what you fancied for tomorrow's dinner.
Can't that wait till I've finished this job?
No, because I want to go and catch the bus into Borchester. And I want to know what sort of joint to buy when I'm at the butcher's.
Oh, get whatever you like. Sausages, Irish stew, or whatever takes your fancy. I'm not fussy. Someone else. Ned ought to have a bit of bonus for the milk this week. Now, let's see.
Pork?
Aye, pork, do well.
Yes, I've a good mind to give you pork sausages for your Sunday dinner one of these times, just to teach you a lesson.
Yeah, now, what's 57 fourpence acre?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, hold your row a minute. Because that's what I'm trying to work out.
Hello? Who's this just driven into the yard? Why, it's Jill.
Is Phil with her?
No, but my, she does look well. Wonder who's looking after the twins. Come in, Jill, dear.
Hello, Mum.
Hello, dear.
Hello there.
Anybody want any shopping? I'm just on my way into Borchester. Anything I can bring you back?
Well, I was just getting ready to go myself.
Fine, I'll give you a lift.
Oh, that would be a help, Jill.
Bring you back as well, if you like.
Well, how long will you be staying there?
An hour or two. Uh-huh. I've left the twins with Mrs. Rogers. She'll look after them all right until I get back.
Good.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's that. The wages put up and it comes out right. Blew it, medical. Here. What are you holding your hand out for?
Housekeeping, of course.
Boy, I don't know. Here, help yourself out of the bag.
Oh, thanks. No end to it, is there?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be these days. I must say you're looking bonny, though, Les.
I'm feeling on top of the world.
How about Phil?
Well, worrying unnecessarily, I think.
About Mr. Grenville?
Yes. I haven't seen as much of Mr. Grenville as Phil has. But I don't think he's as tough as he makes out. I found him very pleasant himself.
He and Phil are still rubbing each other up the wrong way, eh?
I think it's got to the stage now when they're agreed on a ceasefire for 6 months or something.
And if at the end of 6 months hostilities break out again, so to speak?
Then it's pretty clear Mr. Grenville won't be the one to move.
That'll be just when you're near your time.
I'm not going to let it worry or upset me, though.
Well, shall we have a cup of tea before we go? Have you got time?
Yes, of course.
Hello, Jill. What do you think you're doing?
Yes.
Nappies?
Yes, nappies.
Well, at least you don't have to do them by hand. Think of all the sink work you'd have had if I hadn't bought you that washing machine.
Do you remember I once said before they were born that two couldn't be any more trouble than one?
Yes, very clearly.
I retract.
How about three?
I'll cope somehow.
You're tired, then?
A little bit.
Yes, am I.
Like to swap responsibilities?
Oh, no thanks. Mind you, I reckon if I did set about it...
I hope you don't mind, darling, but I just didn't cook for tea. Hotted up leftovers from lunch.
Oh, no, I don't mind in the slightest.
Good. Well, I reckon these can come out and go into the spin dryer now.
Cool. Scouring, are they?
No, just normal. And remember, love, children don't scour. Only farm livestock do that.
Oh. Well, look... Can I help?
Oh, don't be daft. You wouldn't know one corner of a nappy from the other.
Well, I could learn.
You probably will with the next when I've got my hands full with the twins.
Look, love, anything wrong? Anything upset you?
No, honestly, it's just one of those off days, that's all. It'll pass. Not to worry.
An off day or why?
I don't know. Feel a bit dowdy, I suppose. Don't worry, it'll pass.
Dowdy? Well, Jill, you look wonderful, honestly. Blooming and blossoming.
Mm-hmm.
What does mean?
Well, you did say 2 or 3 months ago we'd have a party. Not a family duty-do, but a crowd of youngish people like ourselves who fought alike and talk the same language, remember?
Yes, I remember very well. Useful people, I said, both socially and business-wise, and more or less our own ages and temperaments. A good old get-together.
Some of the younger people you meet, you said. The corn merchant, the tackle dealer, the butcher who buys your Hereford beef.
Oh, yes, I did say that. All right, let's have a party. You sure you can cope?
So long as it crops up within the next 5 months.
Well.
Don't look so dumb. dumbstruck. You know what I'm talking about as well as I do. You just don't want to face up to the facts.
Oh, stop going on. Let me read my paper in peace, for pity's sake.
Oh, that for your paper. Put it down and show a bit of interest in what I'm talking about.
If I had the faintest idea what you're talking about, I would. So now, having knocked my paper flying out of my hand, perhaps you'll have the goodness to tell me what you're belly aching about, because I haven't got a clue.
It's the same thing I've been on about for the past week or more.
What, John Tregoran and Janet Sheldon?
Oh, no, no, no. You've got a family of your own to worry about, you know, without troubling your head on behalf of outsiders.
I don't trouble my head. You're the one who does all the surmising and fretting. But if it isn't John and Janet, who is it?
Christine and Paul. Who else?
Now, look, love, we've had all this out t'other day, and we agreed that there was never any sense in trying to patch up husband and wife differences. You only make yourself unpopular and achieve nothing.
You said that. I didn't necessarily agree.
If I remember correctly, you said, yes, Dan, perhaps you're right.
And it was a very big perhaps. I can't just stand by and see those two drifting apart. And take my word for it, that's what they are doing.
Oh, it's just a phase, Doris. They're a bit fed up with each other. Maybe they're in each other's company too much. It's happened with ourselves once or twice. It means nothing.
I agree they need something else to think about apart from each other.
Well, it's no use harping on the no children theme. That'll sort itself out in due time.
Oh, I hope so. But I don't like to see Chris going out and having drinks or going walks with that Andrew Sinclair, while Paul's either still at his work or else watching the telly. You can't tell me that's the way things should be. If Chris wants to go down to the Bull and drink her half pint of shandy, then she should go with Paul.
Well, you're worrying for nothing, I promise you, so far as Sinclair's concerned.
Yes, but you know Paul. He won't go into a temper and start telling Chris off for seeing Sinclair. He'll just say to himself, oh, well, what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander.
Now, that wouldn't surprise me.
And I'm afraid our Paul hasn't got quite such high-minded principles as Mr. Andrew Sinclair.
No, maybe not.
Well, it's nothing to laugh at.
Well, I'm certainly not going to cry about it. If those two can't sort out their own domestic troubles without having to run to Mum and Dad for help, it's a poor lookout.
Oh, it's no use, is it? Can't make you see something you don't want to see. Oh. But you mark my words. This coolness between Paul and Christine goes deeper than just a husband and wife squabble. It isn't a storm in a teacup, as you seem to think.
Oh, get away. You were telling me next that we shall see him in the divorce court.
And even that wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, come off it, Doris. Be your age. Paul and Chris, the divorce court? Well, really?
I'm telling you, Dan, those two have fallen out of love with each other. And when that happens, they don't care tuppence about hurting each other. Till eventually it's all gone too far and it's too late.
Look, love, you can't be serious.
You don't think I'd be as anxious as this if I wasn't truly worried to death, Dan? I can see disaster looming up and I don't know what to do about it. But you or I or both of us will have to make an attempt of some sort.
Paul? Is that you?
Why, hello, Chris. Aren't you in bed yet?
Thank heavens you're all right, Paul. I've been worried frantic.
Oh, silly. Why didn't you go to bed and get some rest?
Well, I had a bath and then put on my dressing gown and came down to sit by the fire and wait for you.
But why? I mean, why did you bother?
Because I suddenly found I was very worried about you. I didn't know where you were and what you were doing or who you were with. You might have phoned to let me know something.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it wasn't easy. You see,
I... Oh, save the explanation till later. And let me show you I'm glad to see you. I'm sick of being at loggerheads with one another, darling. Paul, you smell...
Eh?
Perfume. It's a perfume I never use. Oh, well, I see. You don't have to do any explaining, Paul. It's obvious enough without.
Oh, Lord, off we go again.
Oh, no, we don't. I'm going to bed.
And this is the woman who said, I'm sick of being at loggerheads with one another, darling. Huh, that's funny.
Now, be fair, Paul.
Well?
You go out until the early hours and you don't say where you're going, except that you told Mum you'd be working late. You scare me silly by not coming home till now. And when you do arrive, you reek of a most exotic perfume which I don't use. What am I supposed to work out from that?
My first reaction is to tell you to make what you darn well like out of it. Or go and talk it over with Andrew Sinclair and see what construction he puts on it.
The best method of defense is attack, eh? Same old line.
Chris, before I say anything about what happened to me tonight, let me tell you this. I still don't think there's any other woman to compare with you. It sounds a bit odd, I suppose, when I've got another woman's perfume on my shirt.
Oh, I like the on my shirt bit. Not on your jacket, mark you, but on your shirt.
That's right. I took my jacket off.
It's no use me pretending I'm not interested. So I won't sweep off to bed in a huff. Go on. Let's hear about it.
Well, to begin with, I didn't want to come back here and sit watching telly. I didn't want to have a row with you, and lately it seems we've not been able to say half a dozen words without bickering.
That's true. Go on.
So I had a job to do in Borchester, which kept me busy until after 7. Then I suddenly decided I'd go to the theatre.
The theatre?
Well, I had a couple of drinks during the intervals and enjoyed it all very much. Then at the end, you can guess who I bumped into.
Dawn Kingsley.
Right, first girl. Well, her car is in dock, so she asked me for a lift.
Of all the young ladies in Ambridgen District, I'd say she's the most dangerous. Especially to a man who's not seeing eye to eye with his wife.
Yes, you have a point there. But now, believe it or not, on the way back to Ambridge, a maniac roadhog forced us into the ditch. I had to phone Wainwright's for a breakdown vehicle to pull us out. And going to the phone, I got my jacket soaked because I didn't take a Mac with me. So then I shared the car rug with Dawn Kingsley until the breakdown lorry arrived. Which was about, oh, I suppose, 10 minutes. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me.
I see.
Well, I hope you do.
How badly damaged is the car?
Scratched a bit on one side. I had to hit the ditch or hit this other car. He just hugged the middle of the road with his headlights full on.
He might easily have been killed.
I chose the lesser of the two evils and ditched.
I could easily have been sitting here waiting and could have eventually picked up the phone to learn that you were in hospital.
In which case, you'd have kicked yourself because I was in hospital as a result of the fact that we were at loggerheads. Because otherwise I'd have been here with you.
Quite.
And then you'd have realized that you didn't want to be at loggerheads at all, really. And nor did I.
So, why were we then?
I don't know, Chris. Suddenly we didn't seem to be, well, part of each other anymore.
Wasn't really anything to do with me having a drink with Andrew Sinclair, was it?
Oh, I was a bit needled about that.
But you didn't really think I was attracted to him, or he to me, did you, Paul?
No, in all honesty, I didn't. He's not the type of chap to make a dead set at another chap's wife, especially when he's by way of being a pal.
And if you don't mind, I'm not the type of woman who'd want him to, or would encourage him if he wanted to.
Silly, isn't it? Look, let's stop it as from now, shall we?
Yes, let's.
You know something?
What?
You smell a lot nicer than Dawn Kingsley.
That I very much doubt. All I'm wearing is talcum powder, after bath stuff. You know, the sort of thing everybody buys you for Christmas, regardless of what perfume you use. Dawn's is a much more sophisticated perfume.
I think we'll go to bed, shall we?
All right, Paul.
You know, underneath you're not such a bad old wife, really. I've decided to keep you on. And I'm not quarrelling with you about anything or anybody anymore. Back to how we used to be.
Unfair to Chris, but I certainly fancy the look of that grey, Phil.
Well, it always looks good in the hunting field, I admit. Good goer. Betty Cartwright rides it to the limit, too. Does that mean you want a last-minute bet?
If you're going to put something on yourself...
Well, naturally. It enhances the fun of watching them go.
Oh, my poor feet. Do you mind if I have a sit in the car with you, Jill?
No, Mum. Come and make yourself at home, by all means.
Why that husband of mine always gets the wanderlust, I'll never know.
I'd like to have a wander around and study form. Have you done any good, Phil?
Oh, nothing remarkable, Dad. Down on the first and collected the second. Not more than a few bob in it.
Ah, the Archer family in strength.
Why, hello, Mr. Grenville.
Hello, Mr. Grenville.
I suppose you're all winning lots of money. Going's quite good, isn't it?
Almost perfect, I'd say.
Nice crowd, too. Does you good to see all those cars in the car park.
It ought to, at a pound apiece.
Oh, so that's why we walked, was
it? Oh, shut up. You don't want to say things like that.
Oh, I'm afraid you wouldn't laugh if you had my feet, Mr. Grenville.
Topics of conversation some people get, aren't you?
Hello. They're moving down to the start.
Any tips for the ladies, Rez? You know the form better than I do. What about your daughter?
She'll try, of course, but she doesn't expect to win.
That grey's fancied. You can see that by the betting.
Well, justifiably fancied, do you think?
Well, certainly, with Betty Cartwright riding.
Oh, well, why not? Might as well do that one as any other.
Well, don't blame us if it doesn't come up. Anything can happen.
I'm well aware of that.
Oh, you know, looking at Mr. Grenville, he's a very smart and distinguished-looking man now, isn't he?
Mm. You know, while I've been sitting in the car, I've been watching. He seems to have made a point of using this afternoon to move around and have a word with everyone he knows.
Yes, I don't believe he's anything like the martinet Phil makes him out to be.
Same as I said before. If he's good enough for the old squire, he's good enough for us.
Well, Jill, do you want a saver on the grey or not? Better buck up and make up your mind, or I shan't have time to get it on.
Oh, yes, please. Put me a couple of bob on.
Oh, going in with both feet, eh? That's bound to bring it down to evens. Shan't be a second.
Yeah. It looks as though they'll be soon off now.
How did the party go, Jill?
Everybody said it was a great success. I hope they weren't just being polite.
Oh, I'm sure they weren't.
Hello. Which one's that playing up?
Where? Oh, isn't that the one Chris had at Walton Grange? You know, the one that kept nuzzling the gate open.
I believe it is.
Oops!
One little last fling before it comes into line.
Oh, well, your two bobs on, Jill.
Good.
The bookie almost fainted with the weight of it. He starts to lay it off at once.
Silly.
Yeah, they're coming up nicely now.
Gosh, I hope Chris wins this.
Hey, up. Here we go. They're off!